Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
Thank you, guys. So Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. I just want to read that with you. You know this, Jesus has died and risen from the dead, and he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. So he brings the disciples. It says, when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times and epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Pray with me if you would. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. This is the day you've made, and we do rejoice in it. And I just pray, Father, as you work this out in an amazing way, I just ask you to speak, Lord Jesus, your word. And I thank you that by your Spirit, it's not so much what I say, it's what you say. And so just speak to each individual where they are. Lord, we know this has been a rash of sickness and breast cancers and all kinds of things going on in this body. And so, Father, you are full of love, and you are good. And I pray now that you would bring the revelation of your heart to and through your word, Lord, to your people right now. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you know the disciples, they were knuckleheads. So throughout Jesus' time with them, he had to keep working with them because they had this mentality. So when James and John asked him and said, hey, can we sit one on your right and one on your left? Their mentality was the Messiah, which was the Jewish thought of the day. The Messiah is a military leader. So we've seen you raise the dead and open the eyes of the blind and, you know, the deaf, all these things. What we would like for you to do is kick the Romans' rear ends. Would you do that for us? That's kind of their thought. So when this question in verse 6 comes up, hey, Lord, is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom? They are still, after spending 3 years watching him suffer, die, and rise from the dead, they still have their own mentality. They're coming in with a human mindset, and so they're saying, okay, now? Is it now? Now are you going to do it? Are you going to finally establish Israel in their rightful place as the head of everything? Jesus, we're sick of being slaves. We're sick of being under somebody else's thumb. Let us be who we're called to be. So I want to share with you a little different angle on something. I'm calling this changing times. Because the word that they use here is the word that from which we get chronological time. There's two kinds of times that are used in the New Testament. In the original language in Greek, one is linear time, chronos. And the other, which we'll see in a moment, is kairos. And they're very different in their disposition, in their nature. So the disciples are in linear time. In their mind, they're going, at some point, preferably in the near future, we're going to have our rightful place on the top, in the penthouse, by the way. And Jesus, we've seen your power, and we're thinking, you're kind of a special guy. So we're going to ride your coattails to where we are also exalted into that place. And so this is the kind of the heart bouncing around in these guys as they ask this question. So Jesus gives what I lovingly like to refer to as a divine smackdown. And he says, it's not for you to know. Thank you for asking. It's not for you to know the times and the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. You're not going to know, sport. That's just the reality. And the word for times is the same word they just ask. Is it chronological time? I'm living by this. Here, Lord, I'm living by this. They didn't have watches. Don't worry, I'm not implying that. But I'm living according to chronological time. And so Jesus says, it's not for you to know that chronos, but it's also not for you to know the kairos. Now, kairos is another word that basically, instead of linear time, it means when God interferes, when God intervenes. It's an opportune time. It's a time where he comes in and reaches down, if you will, into our linear time and says, you know what? I'm going to do something now. I'm stepping in at this point, and I'm going to do something significant. And so Jesus lovingly smacks them down and says, you're not going to know, because the Father has fixed times by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, and you know, kind of the concentric circles, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, remotest part of the earth. You are going to be my witnesses. Changing times. And this is not like, oh, the times are changing. Not that. I want to submit to you this morning that you and I need to change our perspective on how we look at God's intervention in our time, how we give him our time, how we live with it. Chronos Kairos. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 is an example of Chronos. He says, if you want to turn there, you're welcome to. Don't hear a lot of rustling, so either you're on your phone or you don't want to turn, which is fine. Galatians 4, verse 4, when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. When the fullness of the time came, this is Chronos. So here, linear time is moving along, and there comes a point where in God's wisdom, he's going, now, it's time for me to send Jesus. I'm going to send Jesus. Fullness of time, born of a woman, born under the law. That's Chronos. Look with me at Romans chapter 5, verse 6. If you know this, while we were still helpless, it says at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were helpless, Christ died. That's Kairos. Okay, so I don't want to get, we're not going to go into a bunch of minutiae, but I want to establish those two. Chronos, linear time. Kairos, an opportune, a right, a critical time. And Jesus smacks down the disciples by saying, it's not for you to know. So I want to look at this. The Father has fixed. Let's look at some illustrations biblically of fixed time. What is it when God fixes time? In John chapter 18, Jesus is in the garden. He's being betrayed. Judas betrays him. And what happens? Peter, our favorite, Peter pulls out his sword, and what does he do? Chops a guy's ear off. Malchus, we find out in another gospel, his name was Malchus. We also find out in another gospel, Jesus took the time to heal his ear, put it back on and heal it, which is really amazing to me. But what happened was the mentality that was in Peter's heart was, The same thing that came out in other spots in Scripture where he's like, no, may it never be, Lord. You're not going to suffer and die. No way. And what was in his heart regarding time was, no, I'm not going to let this time come to an end. I'm going to step in. I'm pulling my sword. I'm going to take action. How often, beloved, do we find ourselves in that situation? When God may have a certain thing in mind, because make no mistake, it was Jesus' time to die. It was his time. From before time began, there was a time. It was coming. It was the plan of God. And Jesus had a couple of clashes with Peter about this regarding time, didn't he? And he's going, no, put your sword away. You want to live by the sword? You know, guess what? You're going to die by the sword. And so this is an issue when time, Peter had the mistaken idea of time. He was saying, I want this to go a certain way. I want you to stay here on earth. I want you to keep doing miracles. I want to keep being at your side, and I want things to stay the way they are. And Jesus says, no, it's not. It's my time. It's my time. John chapter 6, verse 15, if you're a note taker. Jesus, it says that he perceived at this point after feeding the 5,000 that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king. Think about this. He perceived that they were intending to come and take him by force and make him king. So he withdrew to the mountain by himself alone. This is Jesus operating in this. What was the case? The people said, like the disciples, we see you, Jesus. You're kind of impressive. And so we think you should be king. But what was Jesus' response? And by the way, why did he always go away to the mountain? To pray, to be with his Father, didn't he? So Jesus' response was to say, no, it's not time. This is not the way this is supposed to go. And there are areas that the Father has fixed. There are times that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Now, for the most part, you and I are pretty comfortable with that. We understand that. Let me look at one more with you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. I'll read that with you. Father has fixed certain things. In the chapter of faith, he lists some of the early church leaders, or the leaders of Israel. But he says of them, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Here were men and women of faith that never received the promises. So as you and I wrestle with where we are sometimes with the Lord, as we struggle with what's going on in our life, we have to wrestle with this, don't we? We have to reckon with this. There are things where God just says, this is my time. I've fixed this. And the danger of that, though, is we can then become passive. And the danger of that is that we can then go, you know what? God, you run the show, and I'm going to, in a wrong way, I'm going to hide behind your sovereignty. Okay, do you understand what I mean? Okay, well, God just runs the show. I quit. I'm just going to just ride this ride. I'm going to cruise along, and whatever happens is going to happen. And if we're not careful, we can become fatalistic. And so this is where I want to begin with my challenge to you this morning. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 2, if you would. Daniel 2. I'm not happy with some of the times either. I understand. Believe me. Now listen to this phrase. There are three times that I found, I didn't research exhaustively, there are three times in Scripture where both chronos and kairos are used in the same verse. And it's always, in my translation, it's translated times and epochs. One is 1 Thessalonians 5:1. Daniel 2 is the other one, but I want you to listen to this. Nebuchadnezzar the king has just come and said, I had a dream, and I need somebody to interpret for me. And so the wise men are like, okay, tell us the dream. He's like, no, you tell me the dream too. And they're all going, yeah, that's not how this works. And he gets so angry that he orders everyone to be killed, all the wise men, the pagans, as well as Daniel and his friends, those who are following God. He's just enraged. And it says, Daniel answers wisely. And so Daniel says, give me a little bit of time. Let me pray about it. Let me seek God. So God comes and tells him the dream and the interpretation, which Daniel's pretty happy about that, as you can imagine. So this is a part of that. I'll start with verse 20. Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. Okay. Didn't we just come out of something that said, Father has fixed times and epochs by his own authority? What are we going to do with this? Oh, it's inconsistent. Panic. No. What did Jesus say? It's not for you to know. It's not for you to know the times and epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. And here Daniel's praising God, saying, you're the one who changes them. So guess what? You and I cannot hide behind the sovereignty of God and just go, you know what? What will be, will be. God never called us to fatalism. He never called us to just rest and let whatever come, it'll come. Are there times when we are in that? Absolutely. If you've lived life a few minutes, you know that. But here he is. I want you to look now at the reality. God changes. So let's look at some illustrations of God changing. And I want to challenge you with a couple of things. See, in Acts 1 that we just read, Jesus uses this three-letter word. It's the word but. And when we see that, he says, it's not for you to know the chronos and the kairos, the times and the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but. And it's what's called an adversative, really impressive. Impressive word that means it's in contrast to what was before. So here's Jesus giving a smackdown to disciples, if you will, saying, you're not going to know it, guys. But, and what follows that? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You shall. So here he's saying, look, Don't just go, oh gosh, well, the Father has fixed this by his own authority. I quit. You know what? What will be, will be. He's saying, no, no. The contrast to that is that I am giving you the Spirit of God. And now we can look at Daniel's words here, and we can look that it's the fact that it's God who changes times and epochs, and we can say, how does that apply to me? What role do I have in this? See, I don't know about you, but for me, it's almost easier to go with just the one verse that Jesus said, the Father's fixed it. Okay, I can't do anything about it. But that's not the challenge of God that he has for you this morning, I believe. The challenge is that God is also the one who changes. And while you and I may not know what's going on in terms of our times or the times of the kingdom of God or of this church or whatever, there's a but. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay, and that's the contrast that Jesus gives in this context. In 2 Kings chapter 20, Hezekiah, great king, one of the greatest kings of the southern kingdom of Judah, godly man. God sends Isaiah the prophet to him and says, tell him to set his house in order, he's going to die. If you know, he weeps, he puts his sackcloth and ashes, but he just is like, oh, Lord, no, please. And so God sends Isaiah back and says, okay, you have 15 more years of life. But what sign would you like for me to show you? And Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, had built this incredible timekeeping thing that was based on the shadow of the sun going down a staircase. And you could tell what time it was by where the shadow was on the staircase. Brilliant. Brilliant thing. Research it sometime. And so God said, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to advance the shadow 10 steps, or you want me to bring it back? And he's like, well, it's easy for it to go, you know, 10 steps ahead. Back it up. It is he who changes the times and epochs. So God brought the shadow back. Time went backwards, if you will. Human chronological time went backwards 10 steps. Why? Because God's the one who changes. That's why. In Joshua, you know it, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. What happened? Israel's fighting the Amorites. It's starting to get dark. They don't want the battle then, because in that day when it got dark, you stopped fighting. You didn't have night vision goggles and so on and so forth. And so Joshua says, oh, sun, stand still. He cries out that the sun would stand still. What happens? God stops time. Says, okay. Until they were avenged on their enemies, until they conquered and completely destroyed the Amorites and the epochs. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. So see, we can't hide behind his sovereignty, can we? And just go, well, those men, Hezekiah, in that case Joshua, knew, you know what? I understand that God runs the show. I don't have a problem with that. However, hey, Lord, I have a request of you. John chapter 2, verse 4, I love this story. This is Jesus turning the water into wine. What happens in this? They go to a wedding. Weddings were days and days. The idea was to drink, get slobbering drunk. Sorry, that's what it was. And so you brought out wine, and it was a terrible social scar on your reputation if you ran out of wine. So Jesus and his mother were at this wedding. They had gone a little while. They ran out of wine. Mary comes to Jesus and says, hey, they've run out of wine. She knows her son. And what does he say to her? What to me and to you? It's a Hebrew idiom. What to me and to you? Germans have a saying, ja und. It means yeah and. Okay, what? And so Jesus tries pulling that. My hour has not yet come. What does she do? The Jewish mama. Do whatever he tells you to do. And probably walked away. Do whatever he tells you to do. Whatever he says to you, do it. So here's the Son of God saying to his mom, hey, my hour hasn't come. One would think, you know, angelic voices singing in the heavens, she'd be like, oh, okay, sorry, my bust. No. Whatever he says, you do it. In other words, you are going to make some new wine, young man. Now. And make it good, which he did. And so he ends up making gallons upon gallons, as you know, when the head waiter comes and says, wow, this was better than the other stuff. But it's he who changes the times and epochs. My hour hasn't yet come. So when Jesus spoke to the disciples and said, it's not for you to know the times and the epochs, he's not going, so just quit. I'm running the whole show. You're a little wind-up robot. Just do, you know, go where I kind of direct you. He's saying, no, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so what does this mean for you and me? What does it mean? Think about it. It means that there's a kind of time, that's opportunity. And when God sends you out, driving down the street to the local restaurant, to the gas station, there is a kind of time that God wants to change through you. And it is the kind of time that only you can activate and change. Why? Because you will receive power when the Spirit has come upon you. And the activation of that power is contingent on you and me stepping out of our comfort zone and going out there, out of the walls. And not, you don't have to quote the entire book of Leviticus to someone. They'd fall asleep anyway. But your look, your words, you're patting someone on the shoulder. Did you know that that is activated by your faith and the Holy Spirit will move through that? If you're like me, you're going, oh, I'm not good at this. I'm not good at this. But it has nothing to do with that, beloved. It has to do with your willingness and mine to go, you know what? You said that the Father fixed these times. Daniel said the Father changes these times. And I have a role in that. And the role is that I don't go, am I good at this or am I not? We're challenged by the Lord to walk in the power of the Spirit simply through the vessel, the portal of going, I'm going to reach out to people. It's not complicated. It really is. Look, do you know how few people look with kindness in their eyes at other people in this day and age? You smile. I bumped into a kid the other day. I was on the West Coast, and I saw a kid. I knew he was Arab, an Arab kid. We were in a Ross or some kind of store, and I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I'm not holding myself up as the example. I fail in this all the time. But you know what I did? It was amazing and spiritual. I smiled at him. Smiled at this kid. His face lit up. And I walked straight over. He was from Saudi Arabia. And we talked for about 10 minutes about what I had done and why he was there and how he liked it and what was going on. And it was amazing. That's changing time. It's not profound from our view. I mean, it's not there wasn't an earthquake accompanying that last I checked. Or else I slept through it. I don't know. But that's what God is calling us to. It's not, God just runs the show, and you know what? If he wants me to talk to someone, then they'll come and ring my doorbell when I'm in the mood and feeling spiritual. Not how it works. Jesus walked the streets, all kinds, good, bad, ugly, the indifference, everything. He just walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't something where he was trembling all the time. It was simply being willing to say, you know what, Lord, you want to affect someone's times through me. That's what I want to challenge you with this morning. He's not just the God who fixes times. He's the God who changes times. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. See, there's so many things. Jesus said in John 7, I believe, he said, my time is not yet here, but your time is always opportune. To his brothers, to people who were challenging, who was. My time's not here yet. But your time is always opportune. Your kairos. The moment where God wants to come down and interfere in this time through you, beloved, is always opportune. And I think the people right now that I track, that I see, that are the most effective in ministry, street ministry or whatever, you know what? They just take the opportunity. We have our agenda. I've got to be at so-and-so at this time, and I got to do this and do that. And God sends people across our path constantly. And so I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you this morning God wants to change the times through you. He wants to change the times through you. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. You tracking this? Don't be nice. Are you tracking this? Do you understand what's... Okay, good. Conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. You know what that is? That's the phrase you've heard before, redeeming the time. This was translated, making the most of the opportunity. Why? Because a kairos time, when God intervenes in our life, is simply an opportunity. And you know as well as I do, we miss them all the time. But start stepping into those. And I think you're going to find that your life gets way more adventurous. Way more adventurous. Get them, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Join me in prayer. Lord, any chaff I've spoken, I ask you to blow it away with the wind of your Spirit. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, who are being winnowed. And you're tossing them up into the wind, Lord, and the chaff is being blown away. And Lord, I thank you for your testing. I thank you for your trials. Father, it is ultimately about knowing you and hearing your voice. So, Father, I want to just ask you, Lord, for this body, that you would speak through me the words of Mary at Cana at the wedding. And Lord, that this would be the message, the heartbeat of this message to Mosaic on this day. Whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. Lord, open the ears of our heart. Open our eyes to see opportunities. And Lord, I just pray that this would be something that is accompanied with great joy. It wouldn't be, oh gosh, there's another yoke for me to bear, another burden. I have something else on my to-do list, and I got to check this box. Lord, I pray instead that there would be joy in this, and that you would begin to bring testimonies through this church, Father God, of encountering people. I know that many are doing that now, Father, but I just pray that this would become a really, really dangerous church for you and your kingdom and your glory. Thank you for your call on Mosaic, Lord. Pour forth your Spirit. And we pray all these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.